We'll turn to the book of 2 Chronicles this afternoon. And we're just excited and happy to be here. Thank the church for having us. And just say that the work that you all did on the building over there just, is outstanding. It's really nice. And just blessing my heart to see all the hard work that you put into it. And we thank the Lord for you. 2 Chronicles chapter number 9, and we'll start in verse number 1. It says, when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company, and camels that bear spices, and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers also and their apparel and the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I had heard in my own land of thine acts, of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not their words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne and to be a king for the God, for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, a great abundance, and of precious stones. Neither was any such spice as the queen Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram gave the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir and Algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of Algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and the king's palace and harps and psalteries for singers. And there was none such as seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. Now, I don't know the intent of the queen of Sheba whenever she left. We know that she went to prove Solomon with hard questions, and I don't know what she had in mind by asking the questions, but I'm confident it didn't end up like she thought it was going to end. That she came to prove Solomon, but she came back a different person. She arrived as a seeker of truth and left as a knower of truth. She came for one thing, but left with a whole bunch of something else. She came with gifts and left more than when she started with. She came seeking the wisdom of Solomon, but she left with the mind of God. And by the end of the trip, we have that a bunch of royalty here with hearts full of the Word of God. And I want to preach to you this afternoon on a queen and two kings. So it's a queen and two kings. And Lord willing, we'll see the wisdom, first of all, of the queen as she came. Then we'll see the wisdom of the king. And finally, we're going to see the king of wisdom. First of all, we see the wisdom of the queen. She came to test and to prove him. The queen had come to see if Solomon was everything that everybody had said that she was. And whether she had come to maybe with a measure of pride that she thought that she was something and she was going to match wits with Solomon or what it was, she had come to ask him. And she had come to be the judge of Solomon. That she was going to, she obviously thought she was going to contribute something to Solomon with all of the gifts. And she said, well, here's a wise man. I'm going to bring him something, maybe give him a little bit of my wisdom, and we'll leave both be mutually blessed one of another. She had come, and she was going to judge Solomon. She came to prove him. And many people come to God's Word, and they come to God, and they're going to judge God. And they're going to say, God, I'm going to judge whether God is just or right. And they set themselves up to be the judge. Well, she had come to prove Solomon whether if he was really what people said he was. And in our time, the queen here would have been the ultimate judge. Our world is so mixed up and it's so upside down that the person who asks the questions is the wise person, and the person that has the answers is the fool. And that is how our world is. And you think about that. Someone says, well, is there only one way to God? And you say, yes, by Jesus Christ and Him alone. So, well, you fool, how can you say that you have all the answers? I don't know what the answer is. That makes me wise because I have an open mind and believe everything. And that's the way our world is. That if you have the answers, you're a fool because you say you have the answer. But if all you have is questions, then you're wise and lifted up. And if you notice that, you watch the news, you read any type of media or anything, that's the way it is. Anybody with any assurance, any answer, they're a fool because they don't continually doubt themselves. That's foolish. And whether or not, in our world, whether or not Solomon was wise would depend on whether or not the queen thought him wise. And if the queen of Sheba left and said, well, he's not very wise, then Solomon wouldn't have been wise because she is the ultimate judge and standard. Don't be like that. Amen. We have an ultimate judge and standard, and it's the Word of God. Amen. In our world, I could say this Bible, this cover is black, and somebody say, no, it's yellow, and I would have to concede that it was yellow because somebody thought it wasn't, that you can have your own truth. Well, that's not the way it goes. A child knows that. If it was the 2011, the queen would have come to Solomon, and Solomon would have told her that a man should rejoice with the wife of his youth, or a gracious woman retaineth her honor. And she would say, that's very chauvinistic of you to say. You're not very progressive, Mr. Solomon. This is a new era. You don't tell me what beauty is. You don't tell me that beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Beauty is being true to yourself. Beauty is doing what you like to do and lifting yourself up. Don't you tell me that, Solomon. I find that you're a very intolerant person, Mr. Solomon. And you're very backwards and very offensive. And I don't want to believe what you have to say. And then she would go on her way. She'd be a modern day hero. She'd have her own afternoon talk show. She would write books and say, follow me. I can make everything you want to be the object. And you're going, what it is they turn themselves into gods. What do you think you're trying to... Why do you think what you had to say is right? That's not very tolerant. Well, we have the Word of God, the ultimate truth, and there's no arguing past that. We have the truth. And Solomon, when he spoke to her, he spoke the truth. And this is why I said the wisdom of the queen, because she came to hear. So she may have come in a measure of pride, but she was there in a measure of humility that she had an ear to hear the Word of God. That she had an ear to hear what Solomon was going to tell her. Proverbs 3:7 tells us, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. God had given the queen here an ear to hear His word. And she didn't make herself the standard of right and wrong in the end, but she knew what was right, and that was God. The libertinism makes every person a law unto themselves. That you justify everything that you do by your own morality. That if you think something is right, you just justify it by what you think is right, and then your own God and your own morality. She came in a measure of humility because a man that's wise in his own conceit, there's more hope of a fool than of him. A man who justifies everything in his own mind is never going to be wrong, and there's no hope for such a person because Jesus came to save sinners. And those who are sick don't need a physician, and those who are wise don't need to hear wisdom. But the fool often knows that he's a fool and will hear the word of God. Well, she came and she heard what Solomon had to say. The queen was teachable. She desired to hear the truth. She could have heard the hard words of Solomon, and you read the Proverbs, and those Proverbs are hard words. She had hard questions, but his answers were probably harder than her questions were. And the Word of God can be hard for us to hear sometimes, but she didn't get out and she didn't storm. Because the Proverbs also says in 29:1 that he, being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Mm-hmm. That the hard-hearted, hard-necked fool, the unteachable, the dead man in his sins, will not hear God's Word. And the stiff-necked and not bunged, there is no hope for the self-righteous, proud man. that God must humble the man, but that he might hear and believe and repent of his sin. But she humbled herself when she was presented with divine truth. And this is why the queen came seeking wisdom. I believe that she found it. And we see the wisdom of the queen, that she heard the word of God. Her heart was broken by God's word. But it wasn't Solomon that changed this woman. It wasn't Solomon's words that made the queen of Sheba, her spirit fly from her. You say, well, wasn't Solomon the wise man? Wasn't Solomon the one that penned the Proverbs? Yes, he did, but this wasn't the wisdom of man. It was God's wisdom. And the very Word of God tells us that Solomon didn't have that great of an influence in influencing women to believe what he wanted them to believe. You can look at his wives and tell that. Who influenced who in those relationships? So it wasn't that Solomon was some kind of man that could manipulate women and make them believe how they wanted to. His wives made him go and build false idols to false gods. But here it wasn't Solomon convincing anybody. It was Solomon presenting the Word of God, and it was God the Holy Spirit that quickened her and gave her a new heart and new life by His Word. Amen. What we have contained in our Bible is divinely inspired truth. And it is the wisdom of God. The queen didn't substitute her wisdom for Solomon's wisdom. But it was the wisdom of God in Christ that made her a new creature in Christ. And it was that by the wisdom of the king. So we see the wisdom of the queen, and the wisdom of the king was in verse number 2. And Solomon told all of her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. We know how Solomon got his wisdom. God asked him what he wanted. And he said that he wanted an understanding of heart to judge God's people, that he could discern between good and bad, because who was able to judge such a great people? And God gave him that and much, much more. So Solomon's understanding first didn't come from himself, it came from God. And the answers that he gave the queen didn't come from himself, but I believe it came from God. Amen. That he gave her God's word. Now, you think about that. If somebody came asking you hard questions, what would you want to give them? I would give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That would tickle me to death if somebody comes to me and says, I want to talk about my soul. I would have hard questions concerning my soul and concerning spiritual things. And Solomon the preacher is what he called himself in Ecclesiastes. I doubt he tarried very long to get to the King of Kings, to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he preached to her the truth of salvation by grace. Any wisdom that he has, it comes from God. The queen was not saved apart from or by the wisdom of men, but by the renewing of her heart of the Holy Spirit with the instrument of the divine truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
I believe Solomon showed her that she was a sinner and she needed a Savior.
Yes.
I don't think her spirit left her from a bunch of riddles and parlor tricks that the Jewish fables say that Solomon did. There's a lot of fables that you can read about what happened there and all the things that Solomon may have done or didn't do to make her lose her spirit and to make her in awe of him. But I don't believe it was parlor tricks. I don't believe it was mind games, but it was the Word of God. She asked those hard questions. I believe he took her to those hard questions. Well, the book of Proverbs isn't just a book of morality. But there's a theme to the book of Proverbs. There's a purpose to it. And if you want to look, we can just ask Solomon what the purpose is in the first chapter of Proverbs. So we can ask Solomon, why'd you write? What's the purpose of this book? What's the purpose of Proverbs? And Solomon would be happy that you ask him, and then he'd give you an answer. He'd say in verse number 2, to know wisdom. That's the purpose, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. Give subtlety to the simple, to give a young man knowledge and discretion. Verse 6 says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Every 2 there is a reason for the book. And then verse 7, we come to the theme of it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. And right there is the theme of this book. It is the fear of the Lord. and you go through the book of Proverbs, and that comes up over and over again. You go to the end, and you'll find it there towards the end. It is the fear of the Lord. There's a bracket around the whole book of Proverbs. That is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that is the purpose of Proverbs, is to take us to the Lord Jesus Christ. To make one wise. But how can you be wise without fearing the Lord? The wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of God, left the queen without strength. There was no more spirit in her. Why was that? Because I believe she had come to the very end of herself. The book of Proverbs is such a convicting book. If you read it and you think about that, there's not one person in here that's ever come close to living that standard of the book of Proverbs. It is a convicting book. The bar is too high for us to even imagine to come to that, to live the way that Proverbs shows us that a man ought to live. She had come to the end of herself. Any pride that she had was gone. She is completely undone. Whatever wisdom she thought she had before, she knows she doesn't have any now after hearing the words of Solomon. And whenever God opens the eyes of a sinner, that is the way that we feel. Whatever wisdom we had before, it's gone. Yes. Whatever strength that we had before, it's gone. Whatever honor we thought we had before, it's gone when we come in the presence of God and in the fear of the Lord. And that's what Solomon's words did to her. That it wasn't just looking at Solomon and hearing him talk and riddles and puzzles, but he spoke unto her the word of God, and she became undone in the presence of God. It was God that convicted her and brought her low. Proverbs does instruct, but it brings us to the knowledge that we're sinners. The way it shows us the way to wisdom, but also the way that our wisdom is foolishness. It shows us the loftiness of holiness, but it also shows us the guile of our own hearts. The purpose of this book in wisdom is to live in the fear of the Lord. And I believe that she was without spirit because God, she had been humbled by God and in the fear of the Lord. She had heard of His wisdom. She had heard of the greatness of His wisdom, she said. But she didn't understand it. She said that she didn't hear the half of it once she got there. Well, she had heard of His wisdom, but she didn't hear the good half. Many people hear half about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't hear spiritually the good half. You read the Gospels, many had heard of Jesus. And they come to Him and say, Teacher, Master, Rabbi. They had heard of Jesus. We know You're a great teacher, and we know that You do great miracles. And we know that You're sent by God because we can see all these miracles we're doing. They'd heard the half of it, but they hadn't heard the good half. That He was a teacher and He was a miracle worker, but He was a Savior who had come to save. He was God who had come to save His people. Amen. And she had heard she hadn't heard the good half of Solomon, that his wisdom wasn't just some intellect that a man had, but it was the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is Christ. And what she saw was the fear of the Lord there. That she didn't understand the half of what was really there and what was behind all of Solomon's wealth and his power and his wisdom. The source of Solomon's wisdom is what that she saw that day. The direction which Solomon's wisdom pointed her is what she saw that day, and why his wealth was so great and why his kingdom was so blessed and why his men were so happy. It was all because of God. It was more than quaint sayings and intellect, but it was God that she saw that day.
Yes.
The result of the wisdom that Solomon preached unto her was her own testimony. Blessed be the Lord thy God. After Solomon got done talking to her, what did she say? Praise the Lord. She didn't say, you're so smart, Solomon. Praise Solomon and praise his kingdom. She said, praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord thy God. And then everything that Solomon had, she gave glory to God for that. She left in the fear of the Lord. She left praising God for His wisdom. Well, that brings us to the King of Wisdom, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That Solomon is a picture, he's a type, he's a real person, of course, but God in His providence used his life and that setting and the wisdom and his wealth to give us a picture and a pointer to Jesus. And Jesus himself tells us that in Matthew chapter number 12 and verse 42. Matthew 12 and verse 42. It says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." And we'll stop there for a second. She came to hear Solomon. She had an ear to hear. The words were true. The testimonies were accurate of everything that she heard about Solomon. And not only were they good, but the testimony she heard wasn't good enough. She came and she judged. And she judges today. Because she heard the words of wisdom. She heard the words of God. But why does she judge today? Because she heard in part, in type, in shadow, in darkness. But God saved her. But what the point of Jesus was, is if you keep on reading to the rest of verse 42, "And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." She went to hear Solomon, and she told him the words of God, but a greater than Solomon was here. She heard the testimony of Solomon, that Solomon pointed her to one day a future king would come. One day one will come that will take away sin. And she left in the fear of the Lord, and she left left forgiven of her sins because she put her faith and her hope in one who would come. But Jesus has said she'll rise up because she put her faith in one who would come. He said, "But a greater than Solomon is here now, and you will not believe. You will not hear. You hear my words. And I'm here before you." She heard and had faith in what she couldn't see, but you're standing here before me and you won't hear. And she will judge you by her, and she judges you by her faith. She judges unbelievers today because one will not hear. The queen believed in him she could very faintly see. She believed in one whose report was true, a coming Savior. But the Savior has come. We have His Word. We have the Gospel accounts. We have the light of God's truth. And people will not listen. Perhaps it's you that she judges today. That you've heard of the saving grace of God. You've heard of the unmerited favor of our Lord. You've heard of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and you do not believe. You will not be humbled. You will not be taught. You will not come that you might have life. Well, the queen judges because she believed the testimony of the coming Savior. And men rejected, reject today the historical testimony of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They reject the reality of that and they rejected what that meant, that Christ come to save sinners. She believed on account of Solomon, but a greater than Solomon is here, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than every way. She had come and she had seen Solomon and she had seen the temple and his house and the Spirit left her within her because she was humbled by what God had seen. And I believe in everything that she saw there in the temple and the ascent up to the temple and his wealth and his kingdom and his servants. I believe that all those pictures and his word pointed her to Christ and it humbled her. And though it was darkness, though it was a shadow, she saw Christ in that. And a greater than Solomon is here. He is greater than every way. Well, Solomon penned the Proverbs, but Jesus personified those Proverbs. Amen. I said you couldn't live up to them, but somebody did live up to them. Jesus Christ lived up to them in every way. Amen. Solomon wrote them, but Jesus lived them. A greater than Solomon is here. He is greater in wisdom. He is greater in holiness. He is superior in majesty. A greater than Solomon. Greater in honor. Greater in power, greater in compassion, greater in accessibility, a greater than Solomon has come. He is greater than fame. His servants are happier than Solomon's servants. His attendants are more grateful than his were. His gifts are more precious. His grace is without compare. His mercy is free and his acts are superior. His love is more beautiful and his judgments are more holy. His justice is right, and a greater than Solomon is here. He is the king who hears. I thought about this, and I thought that how Solomon made time for the queen of Sheba. He gave gifts to her, and she left with all that gold. But you know, I thought, I wonder how many poor people may have been out there that maybe wanted to talk to Solomon, but Solomon didn't have time for him. He had time for the queen, but maybe he didn't. There had been some poor people, some poor sinner out there somewhere in the kingdom that wasn't fit to come into Solomon's kingdom. That's just the way it was. Solomon was a man. But Christ hears the cry of the lowly. He hears the cry of the broken and the downtrodden and the sinner and the wicked. He heard me. He is accessible to me. A greater than Solomon's here. Solomon wouldn't have me come up and see him. But Jesus Christ did. He is the King who saves. He is the King who's my priest. The King who's my mediator. Well, Herod, the king in the book of Acts, he wouldn't have anybody come to, people feared him. And he had the leaders of other people groveling down to his chamber. You know, they had come to Blastus, I think his name was, and they were humbling themselves before him. And he liked that he had to have a mediator. No one just come and talk to Herod. But my king is my mediator.
Yes.
He is my priest. He is a king who is here, greater than Solomon is here. He is a king who saves. He is a king who humbled himself,
yes,
that he might lift me up.
Yes.
He is a king who sacrificed himself. He is a king who left his glory to bring us to him, that we might share in what he has. He is a king that came to us and brought us to him. The queen came to Solomon, but Jesus came to me. The queen was drawn by his fame, but I was drawn by the king himself. The queen left the glory of the king, but she had to go back home. But the opposite is true with me, that I'm here waiting. The best is yet to come for me. The queen had to leave everything that she thought was glorious and had to go back home, and probably a little bit disappointed that she was leaving. But with us, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
She was saved. But a greater than Solomon is here. And yet this generation will not hear. This wicked generation will not hear the blessed words of life. They will not look to this king who came to die for sinners, this king who came and is called men unto himself, this king who has come and made himself a little lower than the angels that he might take upon himself the sins of his people. A greater than Solomon is here, the king of wisdom, the king of kings. His name is Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the preaching of His Word.
Amen, brother.